Farm fires in Punjab have disappeared, but the air pollution across large parts of North India has been horrific. There is some welcome relief with evening rainfall in the national capital a few hours back, but it is a bit much to link the right to breathe with the hope that it rains. On the show tonight, going well beyond Punjab's annual agricultural stubble burning nightmare, the overall cause of air pollution in the national capital region, that's what I want to focus on. But let's talk for a moment about how farm fires have actually been coming down dramatically. Effectively, there is none at the moment as we speak in Punjab. And let me explain. The severely polluted air quality in the national capital region comes at a time when agricultural stubble burning in Punjab has almost ended. So therefore, you cannot argue that air pollution should have come down since stubble burning has ended. Evidence of farm fires having come down comes from satellite data, also a government count on a daily basis of actual farm fires in Punjab. As we look at the causes of air pollution in Delhi, let's first look at the farm fire situation in Punjab from the 21st of November onwards. This NASA imagery comes from their Worldview system. This is the farm fire situation on the 21st of November. There were 513 fires. On the 22nd of November, there were 512 fires. And you can see the dots. Each dot is a fire. On the 23rd of November, this went down drastically to 205. On the 24th of November, it went down further to 191. On the 25th of November, another drastic drop. You can see the dots just disappearing. And finally, yesterday, there were just 63 fires. Now, compare yesterday's fire count, 63 fires, that's on your left, with what it was on the 15th of November, that's on your right, when there was a whopping 2,544 fires which were recorded. Incredible what it was, and terrible from a health standpoint, but that's gone. But if you had hoped for the air quality in Delhi to improve immediately, it's not. It's improved in the last couple of hours, but it's certainly not enough. So joining us now, Anumita Roy Chaudhary, Dr. Bhargav Krishna, Professor S.K. Dhaka, and Palak Balyan, they are all experts looking at this issue. As you can see, we haven't got any political leaders on this because we don't want any shouting and screaming. Anumita, in very basic terms, stubble burning has gone down. It is a fact that it affects our health. But why has pollution remained high in the NCR over the last several days?
You're so right, Vishnu, because fire season is over now. And yet today we are in very poor. But if you really look at location-wise data, then Wazirpur, Munkar, you know, these are the areas which are already in severe level. And what is interesting is that when we look at the data coming from IITM and they forecast that how different pollution sources are contributing to air quality in Delhi, today the top contributor are vehicles, followed by the surrounding cities, Sonipat, Ghaziabad, Gurugram, Panipat. And then you have the waste burning happening, solid fuels, industry, and so forth. So clearly it is local and pollution in our surrounding region, and we have not yet been able to figure out how to scale up change. And therefore that's where we are really slipping hard. If you ask state governments what they are doing, they will list something for you. But none of that is adding up to the scale of change needed to cut emissions at source so that we can meet the clean air standards. So that's where we really need to focus on that by sector. Do we have a target? Do we know what kind of infrastructure that we need to create to address the gap in action and implementation? Have we tied up resources, funding with it? And where's the data and the numbers? Just not in Delhi, but in all the big four cities around Delhi and the smaller towns beyond that and the industrial areas.
Right.
So so that's where we really need to focus today.
So Dr. Bhargav Krishna, let me ask a basic question. When stubble burning happens, does it actually push Delhi or the NCR over the edge? In other words, there was this level of thermal power plants being major pollutants which existed. There was this level of vehicular pollution that always existed. In a sense, we've normalized that. But the air pollution index shoots to 500, 600, sometimes up to 1,000 because of stubble burning. Is that the difference?
Absolutely, Vishnu. You're entirely right in your characterization of the problem, because stubble burning is just a sort of symptom that pushes us over the edge, right? It's not that Delhi doesn't have poor air quality aside from the season that stubble burning happens. Delhi has terrible air quality all throughout the year. If you look at our annual average exposures to PM2.5 in the city, we are looking at air quality levels that are 15 times what the WHO considers acceptable, and far higher than what even our own much more relaxed national ambient air quality standards consider acceptable. And so we are not looking at this as a sort of long-term issue in the way that we should be doing. What we're looking at it is as a political game where we're trying to identify what are the seasonal sources that we can attribute blame to, not necessarily looking at the longer term, more complicated, challenging issues that we need to address at a city level and at a regional level. Anumita's work, for instance, has shown recently that the thermal power plant standards being not met at all of the regional thermal power plants around Delhi and NCR are a big contributor to air pollution in the area. But this is also true of the rest of the Indo-Gangetic Plain. Our thermal power plant standards were notified, for instance, in 2015. They came into force in 2017, and yet we are nowhere close to meeting those standards across the whole of the country. We're talking about this at a time when coal use is only going to grow, and there are more and more thermal power plants that are coming into force and coming online each day.
Professor S.K. Dhaka, are there certain climactic factors overhead Delhi which actually result in pollution lingering in the air longer than in other areas? What is a thermal inversion? I keep reading the words thermal inversion. What exactly is that?
Thank you. I was listening to my people who are really talking about, but I'd like to add very, very important point. We must remember about the meteorological conditions. Hmm. So meteorological conditions is very important key factor, and we cannot directly say whether the crop burning is contributing or not contributing. It has a variability. The variability is from 5% to maybe it can go up to 35%, 40%. It depends. I think the episode of 2nd November, if you remember, when the schools were shut down and everything was really in a very bad condition in Delhi. So that took about 48 hours to reach to Delhi. And the contribution was about 30-35%. But that is true. You mentioned it correctly now. The fire is almost gone. But there are many other factors. One is transport. The another is very low wind, calm conditions. And we are also having now hazy conditions, so we are having very sunlight. So these are some factors which basically contribute and the stagnation of this pollution over Delhi. As you mentioned about this thermal inversion, it is something that the boundary layer is coming down slowly, and when the boundary layer is very, very low, so there is no vertical or horizontal dispersion of the pollutants. So whatever is already in the city, the emission, it is keep on adding. And there is no way, it is not going away. And because of this low boundary layer, that is another meteorological condition which we cannot do. It's all a very natural process. But nevertheless, that the factors which are really coming from transport, and
Other factors as well. Yeah, no, we'll come to that. But before I go across to Palak, I thought there's our viewers need a little bit of reminding on why we are doing this. Because we do this 10, 15, 20 times every year for the last 10 years. Anumita and I have been discussing this. Here's the reason. We keep talking about PM 2.5, right? So let's have this graphic up full scale, so that our viewers know what PM 2.5, that's the stuff we are breathing out there, actually does. PM 2.5 has sulfate, which can kill those with a lung or heart disease. It is absolutely a poison. Let's move on to what else it has. It has black carbon, right? Cancer, birth defects, respiratory disease. Organic carbon, which causes damage to liver. And we could go on. Nitrate, which is cancer-causing. Ammonia, which results in the burning of eyes, blindness, lung damage or death. Salt, which causes hypertension and high blood pressure. Chlorine, which causes a tightness in the chest, wheezing and a difficulty in breathing. And potassium, which causes burning of eyes, skin, and a shortness of breath. That's why we are discussing all of this. It's not because of any other factor. Ultimately, this is why we are doing it. Palak, people also want to know about solutions. There was this big idea that let's induce the seeding of rainfall over the national capital region. Is that feasible?
Vishnu, yeah, about the solution. So actually, before I go to solution, we should know two things, in fact, first. That first thing, that this problem is not just a city problem.
Yeah, it's not.
We have the air pollution problem now across India. So urban and rural both are equally polluted. And the second point, which is very important, is that this is just not the winter season problem. So it's a year-round problem. And for solution also, we should not jump to the solution which are very active solution or just a single time or a season-specific solution. So when it comes to solution, it should be year-round solution and across the India. So we should focus more on the solution which are, for example, it should not be like season focus. If we year around we work on the problem, then as Dr. Dhaka also mentioned about the meteorology, then meteorology will somehow improve the air quality in Delhi. Because if we do all the problems, for example, vehicular emission is an important source. And if we work on vehicular emission throughout the year, so that way we can able to protect our winter season too. So we can able to protect Delhiites from this winter season problem. So the important point is that we should focus more throughout the throughout the year solutions,
right,
rather than having these active solutions which are require more resources and also not very effective. So that was
Bhargav Krishna. Is it not effective? The seeding of rainfall. I know it's happened in some parts of the world. Is it at all? Because we're looking for desperate solutions to a desperate problem. So I'm sorry if it's a desperate question. It is.
No, I mean it is a desperate situation, right? But I think the question of whether cloud seeding is the answer or not kind of obfuscates the bigger problem. I think if we've reached the point where we are saying that we are going to resort to cloud seeding, it's an admission that we have failed in everything else that we are trying to do. We have failed at regulating industry. We have failed at regulating emissions from transport. We have not reduced dust from construction sites. We have not reduced biomass burning or crop stubble burning. So if we have failed at everything and this is our last resort or Hail Mary, then we're really in trouble because this is going to be a problem all the time and we can't keep seeding clouds all the time. Cloud seeding may be an immediate temporary relief for maybe a couple of days, but as we see even now, you can have rain in the evening, but in 2-3 hours, the air pollution levels are already back up. There's only so much you can do with a sort of emergency intervention like this. This is not even getting into the area of whether the kind of chemicals that are used in cloud seeding could potentially even have health effects themselves, not related to air pollution.
Yeah, so that, Anumita, a few years back, we were looking at BS3 emission vehicles and BS4 emission vehicles. We are now on to Bharat Stage 6. We've got low sulfur diesel as well. Why has that not had or has it had any impact which, you know, we should be relatively happy about?
So there is a plus and a minus there. Plus is that with all the effort that we have made to improve vehicular emissions and reduce use of diesel in the city, we have actually seen reduction in transport diesel usage by about 46%. And the share of diesel cars in the new car sales have also down from 35% to 72.2%. Now, even though we have seen this technology improvement and reduction of emissions per unit of vehicle, but that improvement is getting swamped by the sheer volume of traffic and the numbers that are overwhelming the city today. And unless we are able to fix the mobility crisis in the city, we will not be able to do this. Remember, Delhi has also achieved 12% electrification of the new fleet. And yet we are in this mess because we are just not being able to make the solution work. Delhi also has the largest electric bus numbers. And yet the bus ridership is coming down drastically, down by 48%. So clearly what is happening today is that we have got half-baked solutions. So yes, we are taking one step forward, but at the same time, because it's not properly detailed out for scale of change, so we are just not seeing the impact of that change anymore. So what we really need to focus on today is that just improving vehicular technology of the internal combustion engine in Delhi is not sufficient anymore. Mm. Why we need to move towards zero emission, scale up electrification, but simultaneously more important to see the mobility transition. So that Delhi master plan's target that at least 80% of the daily travel trips should be by public transport, scaled up walking and cycling infrastructure and compact city design and restraint on personal vehicle usage. For that, we have the policies, we have the rules. These are written in the Clean Air Policy that for the Delhi and NCR, but we just simply not being able to make it happen on ground. And that's where we are really failing. So that's at the big gap in action. So wherever the behavioral change is now going to matter, we are not being able to do this. Sure. So let's focus on the key gaps in action, talk hard solution, which is one, as I said, mobility transition. Second, the massive technology and energy transition in the industry sector, give them affordable clean fuel. And then the waste management. You cannot address waste burning if 30% of Delhi is still outside the formal waste collection of the municipality. It's all piling up to be burnt. So just plant the infrastructure and then tie up the investment with it, set targets and monitor around the year whether you are achieving those targets in terms of systems and infrastructure change. Make it monitorable and get report card on the basis of the progress made, not just, you know, shout every year during winter and take emergency action.
Well, those are sobering thoughts. I'd like you, once again, all of you, for joining us. It ultimately boils down a great deal to political will. Would anybody in any party, in any government, in our democracy be willing to tell people, sorry, the sale of cars is now being restricted or banned for the time being, and we have options, and those options are public transport? Unless that actually happens, car numbers will keep going up because cars are aspirational. We are a developing economy. And that perhaps is one of the key crisis points as far as air pollution is concerned. Thank you all very much for being with us.